You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. Well, it's been a crazy couple of days. We had our bingo night up here, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Well, last night they had the bingo night at the Splendora Church. And as I got in the truck to go up and help set up for it, my truck wouldn't start. Worked fine the day before, and then when I got into it, nothing. Needs a new battery. So I have to take care of that this afternoon so I can get places during the week. And it's just been that kind of week all the way to today. We have people that need prayer that are in the hospital. We have people that are not feeling well at home. We have people that have passed in our sister congregation. There's just been a lot. And I say that not in a manner of complaining, but just the realization that for all of us as ministers of the faith, we have a calling and God keeps us busy if we pay attention to our calling. That's kind of what we're dealing with in the message today. The title of it is Do the Work, Fulfill Your Calling. Paul is talking to Timothy once again. We're still in Timothy, this time 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4. And Paul wants us to know that anyone who wants to live all out for Jesus Christ is in for a lot of trouble. Isn't that a wonderful, sunny, bright message for a Sunday morning? If you're all in for Jesus, you're going to find trouble in this world. That's just the way it is. There's simply no getting around it. He's telling Timothy and the church, there are those in the world, false teachers, false prophets, who will continue to exploit the faith. And the thing is that they are just as deceived themselves as they are deceivers to the people that they lead astray. As long as they're out there, there is a danger of people being led down destructive paths. And so Paul is warning Timothy about these types of people. This is what he says in 2 Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. But as for you, Paul says, don't let those false teachers and false prophets, those deceivers out there, don't let them influence you. Don't let them faze you in the least. He says, stick with what you've learned and believed, being sure of the integrity of those teachers and pastors who have taught you from the scriptures. This is why we preach from the gospel message. This is why we preach from the Bible. Nothing I have to tell you outside of scripture is of any value. I can't say it better than Jesus Christ. I can't say it better than God. And so we preach from the scripture. Paul tells us there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our own rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way instead of our own way. Through the Word of God, Paul says, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for each of us. So, if you are in God's Word daily, if you study the Bible, if you attend church worship regularly, if you listen to sound biblical teaching, if you attend Tuesday night Bible study on Tuesday nights at 5:45 p.m. right there in the fellowship hall, if you do those things, then you will be equipped to recognize false, deceptive teaching when you hear it. How do you know when somebody is preaching something that is not of God's Word? You know because you are familiar with the Word of God personally. If you study the truth, then you will recognize a false prophet when you hear one. So Paul says, I can't impress this on you strongly enough. He says, God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on every one of us, living and dead. And here's the thing. Jesus is about to break into the open with his reign and his rule. So proclaim the message, Paul says, with intensity. Proclaim the message with intensity. Is he talking to the pastor in front of the church on Sunday morning? No, he's talking to every single minister of the faith. That's all of you. You need to be proclaiming the gospel with intensity. When you speak about Jesus, do you feel the Holy Spirit fire burning within you? That's the way you need to be in the world. He tells us, challenge people, warn people, urge people, encourage people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. That's hard for some of us to do, isn't it? We have to keep the message simple and straightforward. It's not complicated, even though sometimes people make it complicated. Paul warns us that there is a time coming when people will reject sound doctrine. I think that time has come. Sound doctrine, sound biblical teaching gives light and truth and hope to anyone who is willing to listen to it and receive it. Out there in the world, those who are all about self, those who have hardened their hearts to Jesus as Lord, to those people, sound doctrine causes them discomfort. It causes them inner anxiety. It causes them inner angst. Are you familiar with that word? Angst. When something ruffles your feathers because it doesn't line up with how you are living your life. Holy Spirit conviction. Those people exist in a state of inner turmoil. Their self-righteousness and self-importance are in conflict with the true person that God created them to be. We're all hardwired to receive the Word of God. And those people who are living a narcissistic lifestyle, a lifestyle that's all about them, that biblical truth flies in the face of their very existence. They're all about me philosophy of life. They reject the truth because it doesn't tickle their ears. It doesn't tickle their fancy. It doesn't do anything except make them feel in conflict with the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Paul says, but you, believer, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good times, but keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant in the world. Now, you might be saying, okay, Pastor, why? Why is that important? Well, fortunately, Jeremiah 31, which is our Old Testament lesson for today, gives us the why. This is what Jeremiah writes. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days, they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. And when I read that, I think, Jeremiah, what in the world are you talking about? What's all this sour grapes? Jeremiah is saying that we must be in the Word and we must proclaim the gospel because the time is coming when each individual person will be held accountable for their own sin. Each individual is accountable. There's individual accountability for sin, and there is individual retribution for sin. We can't blame our sin on those who came before us. We try, but it won't fly with God. Our sin is on us alone. That's why keeping our eye on what we're doing is so important. That's why knowing the truth and proclaiming the truth, learning the truth, teaching the truth are so important, because the way out of our individual retribution is only by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin, my sin, indeed the sins of the whole world. There's no other way out but Jesus. Tell your neighbor, there's no other way out but Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And anyone who tells you otherwise is a false teacher. If someone tells you there's another way to reach heaven, check them off the list as trusted sources. There is no other way but Jesus. No other way but Jesus. Now, after Jeremiah tells us that, he tells us this, and this is the good news. The days are also surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. So Jeremiah, centuries before Christ appears as Messiah, as God in the flesh, tells of the new covenant God will make with his people. And it won't be the kind of covenant that's carved into stone tablets and carried around in an ark or put behind a veil in the Holy of Holies. It won't be the kind of covenant that can be broken by the fickleness and the frailty of humans. No, this new covenant is different because it will be put within each and every believer. It'll be written on their hearts. And God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And in the kingdom of God, there will no longer be the need to teach people about God because they will know firsthand. Don't you long for that kind of intimacy with your Father in heaven? That you just know? Nobody needs to tell you. You just know. You know whose you are. And you know the purpose that he has for you. God will wipe the sin slate clean, and he will forgive our sins, and he will remember our sin no more. So as we wrap up the message this morning, and I remind you, you know how you know when you're halfway through the sermon, it's when the pastor says, in conclusion, right? So we're halfway there. As we wrap up the message this morning, I want to impress on each of you what we have been discussing these many weeks as we have studied Paul's letters to Timothy. You see, in this new season of revival, we, the church, have a mission. And our mission is to be missional. What do you mean by that, Pastor? The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that as believers, that the word of God is written on our hearts. And this separates us, you and me. It separates us in a holy way from the rest of humanity. Let me say that again. As a believer in Jesus Christ, the word of God is written on your heart, and that fact separates you in a holy way from the rest of humanity. See, the rest of humanity perceives God's law only from the perspective of conscience, human conscience. See, even though they don't know it, even though they don't acknowledge it, they're hardwired to the word of God. That's the way they were created, whether they want to admit it or not. And so they only tap into it when it suits them, only choosing to follow their conscience when it doesn't contradict their self-centeredness. That's a big inner turmoil for a lot of folks. You want to know why there's anger and unrest in the world? It's because people are living in conflict with the design God has for them. But because God's law is written on our hearts, it's written within us, it is now our nature to be responsive to the Missio Dei, which is a fancy Greek expression that simply means the sending of God. It is our nature to be responsive to the calling that God has for us in this life. Our missions and our ministry outreach have to become a mindset, a missional mindset. Not a weekend project, but a daily lifestyle. We cannot rest and be satisfied with simply being just another church in this community. But rather, we must be the church. We must be the church. We must be the body of Christ, not just in motion, but we must now be the very movement of Christ throughout Shepherd. That's a big responsibility, but it is what you are called to do as a minister of the faith. And how do we do it? Well, for starters, we have to feed the community spiritually. We have to give people the gift of an experience with the living Christ. We have to build relationships with the unchurched so that when we eventually get around to inviting them to participate in church, to come to Bible study, we're inviting them as a friend and not as someone with whom we have no relationship. When a friend invites me, I respond to the invitation. When a stranger invites me, I'm liable to find something else to do on that particular day. I'm liable to say, I'm busy that day. What day was that again? Yeah, I'm busy that day. Right? Because it's uncomfortable being invited somewhere by someone you have no relationship with. And I don't mean that you have them over to Sunday dinner every week. I'm just saying that you need to reach out to people that you come into contact with so that they know you as someone who is friendly, interested in what's going on in their lives. God is written on our hearts so that we could yearn for Him, yearn for the knowledge of Him, yearn for the truth of Him, yearn to learn more about who He is, and by extension, learn more about who He created us to be and what He created us to do in the kingdom. And so my ongoing prayer for each of you for this church is that the word that's written on your hearts would move you to respond to God's sending in such a mighty way that this community would be drawn to Him by His light and life shining through you. And what Paul is reminding us in these passages is that we must do the work of the kingdom. And when we do the work of the kingdom, we fulfill the calling that God has on each of our individual lives. Are you doing the work of the kingdom? Are you fulfilling the calling that God has on your life? For some of us, it means some time doing some inner reflection. Am I going through the motions of church, or am I being the church? May God breathe that life into you today and write it on your hearts today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.